I want to greet you this morning in the name of Jesus. We've had a good message this morning already. And somebody suggested to me if Marcus preaches this morning, maybe you could get out of it. Just tell the congregation Marcus preached, it was good. Let's go home. But I don't think that's what we'll do this morning, Marcus. I did appreciate your message. And I want to bless you for that. I've titled my message this morning, Who Shall Roll Away the Stone? I don't always want to come up here and be emotional. But the Lord really spoke to me this week. What do I think of Easter? What do I think of the resurrection? Is it just another day like Harold said? Is it a day that really speaks into my heart? I'd like for you to turn to Matthew chapter 27. Title of my message, I think I said this already, Who Shall Roll Away the Stone? And we'll eventually get to the title here, what I'm talking about. But turn to Matthew 27. I guess I've gained new appreciation this week for who my Savior is. I guess that's my desire this morning, for each one of us to think about who your Savior is. Who are we worshiping? Who are we serving? We're going to go to verse 32 in Matthew 27. I want to look a little bit at the crucifixion this morning, just as a beginning here. And I promise you, if I don't see you sleeping, I won't make you get up this morning. Verse 32, And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And the next phrase, I guess I don't like. It says, And they crucified him. There's a lot of pain in that phrase. It was necessary for us that he was crucified. But I still don't like it because it meant that my Savior had pain. Maybe we'll understand that a little more as we go through this message this morning. When he was crucified, the Jews were probably satisfied because they finally had him out of the way. The soldiers were happy because their job was done, at least some of them. They crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. Let's drop down to verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. He died. And I want us to set that in our hearts this morning. He died. There are those that would say that he didn't. There was some miraculous thing done that he actually did not die. He died. We need to understand the fact that he was dead. If he wasn't dead, there is no resurrection. I'm talking to a group of people this morning. I'm guessing there's nobody here this morning that will doubt that. We all believe that he died. But I think it's good for us to think about that. He did die. But that's not the end. That was Friday night. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to do some hopping around here this morning. Some of the verses I will read, some I will have you turn to. We're going to read verse 1 through 8 at the beginning here. Actually, verse 1 through 4, 1 Corinthians 15. Paul talking here to a people that were making a profession Some of them tried to profess Christ and not believe in the resurrection. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Paul's saying here that I've preached to you, you've heard it, you understand it. Some of you have given your hearts to the Lord, but yet some of you are doubting. Some of you don't believe that there is a resurrection. We'll see that later in the scripture here. Verse 3, for I delivered unto you first all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. He's saying, I understand this. I received it and I'm giving it to you. I like for us to put our names in there. You've probably heard preachers do that before. Put your name in here. The last phrase in verse 3, how that Christ died for Lynn's sins. Put your name in there. He died for our sins. We can't point fingers at others. He died for our sins. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Not his thinking, not Paul's thinking, but according to the scriptures. If they didn't believe it, let's look at verse 5 through 8. He says, here's some proof. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And Paul says, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. What more do we need that somebody that witnessed it to know that he resurrected? They've seen him after he was alive again. We believe this because we believe the Bible. It's God's holy word. It's more than a book of history. It's more than good literature. It is God's holy word. And I think sometimes I take scriptures too lightly. It's good reading. It's good knowledge. But it's the Word of God. It's going to make a difference where we end up in eternity, how we understand Scripture and how we walk our lives. Let's go down to verse 12, same chapter. It says, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? Let's pay close attention to verse 14. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is vain also. He is risen. Let's try that again. He is risen. We are awake, thank you. He is not dead. We can be here today, we can worship because we have an alive Savior. He is no longer dead. I'm going to repeat that this morning. I want us to remember that as we go throughout this week, that He is not dead. He is alive. And because of that, we can walk lives that are faithful to Him. We can walk lives that are an honor to Him. That's what we need to be doing. Let's read on down through the rest of this to verse 19 here. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. He repeats himself here. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Those that have gone before, those that have died, if Christ really didn't rise, what is their future? What is their eternity? If he didn't rise, what's my eternity? Verse 19, and in this life only, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If we only have hope for this life, it's dead. We're going to talk about a different hope here in a little bit. But the hope, if we have hope just for this life, it's not going to get us through. We're going to lose out. He is alive. He's risen. We need to remember that. We have assurance. The next verse there in verse 20 says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. We have assurance here. He is risen. We can be faithful. We have a God that we can serve, that we can honor. I know I keep repeating myself this morning, but I want us to get this. I want us to remember, this is a special day. We had Friday when he was crucified. We had the Sabbath after that. Dana mentioned this morning the sadness of that Sabbath. I can't imagine what these ladies were going through, and we'll read here a little bit about them. What were they going through on that Sabbath? Knowing that they couldn't go to the tomb, a desire that they had to go and anoint him with spices, but they couldn't because it was a Sabbath. What was going through their minds? I would guess it was probably a real sad, difficult day. So Christ, our Passover, was crucified. The day following his crucifixion was a Sabbath, and the day following that, he, the first fruits of them that slept, rose again. Christ is the first fruits of all who shall be raised from the dead to die no more. I love that phrase, to die no more. Never again do we have to die after that. I'd like to read a couple of verses here. I'll just quickly read these here. Acts 26:23 says that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. That's to me. And he is the head of the body, the church. This is Colossians 1:18, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. This is the hope I want to talk about. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. A lively hope. It's more than just hope. It's a lively hope. It's certain. There is no questions about it. It's certain. It's real. The men on the road to Emmaus had lost hope. They were wondering, what's happening? We've lost our master. He's gone. Trying to figure out, where's this all at? Their master had died. He was gone. Until he stepped in line with them and walked with them. And then they understood a little later, he's still here. He rose. Let's go down to verse 57 in 1 Corinthians 15 here. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, not of ourselves, but through our Lord Jesus Christ. What's this victory? This victory is that we can walk with him. That he has promised to be our Father, promised to be with us. Never to leave us, never to forsake us. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. This is encouragement. Stick with it. Hang in there. Life is short. Even if I live to be 85, life is short. Let's be steadfast. Let's hang in there. Let's walk the walk with joy. Be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I got written there beside this verse, stay with it, keep walking. The Christian walk is not one of dawdling around. It is walking. It is an action. It is being faithful. Following our Savior. Let's turn to Mark 16. I'd like to look at the story this morning of the resurrection. And by the way, as I was sitting back there this morning looking up here at the cross that is up here, very fitting. There's something that's missing on the cross this morning up here. Who would like to guess what's missing up here? Blood. That's what it is. The blood is missing up here. I appreciate the cross up here. You guys do a real good job, the decorators here. Looking at the cross, thinking about what happened there. Would we have the real cross up here, it would be stained with blood. Blood that we probably couldn't get off of that cross. A reminder of what He did for us. Mark 16, verse 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint Him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. I like to see this, very early in the morning. They just about couldn't wait to get there. They loved their master. Their love was real. It was sincere. How's my love this morning? Is my love real? Is it sincere? Am I walking close to Him? Am I feeling His presence? Does He know that I love Him? And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" These ladies had got up early. They were on their way. They had the spices. I'm just imagining here, but I'm guessing they were walking close together. Maybe arm in arm, I don't know. Probably some tears being shed. Not sure what they would find. All of a sudden, one of them thinks, you know, we're going to get there and there's nobody here. That stone is heavy. Look at the stone up here this morning. That's a big stone. Who's going to roll away the stone? Yesterday I had somebody bring me a stone out to my house to use as a piece of landscape decoration. It wasn't a big stone. It was pretty good sized. It took two of us to move it. This stone's a lot bigger than that. It's heavy. Who's going to roll away the stone? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. It was already done. Somebody had rolled away the stone. If we look in other scriptures, we're going to notice that there was an angel. There was an earthquake. An angel came down and rolled the stone back. But they were wondering who was going to move the stone. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. And they were affrighted. I would have been scared too. Stepping inside the sepulchre here and seeing a couple of angels sitting there, shining white. They were scared. And He saith unto them, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid Him. But go your way, tell His disciples and Peter that He goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see Him, as He said unto you." And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. He said, "Go, quick, go and tell the disciples what you've seen." Verse 8 there, it says that they didn't talk to anybody. They went quickly. They had a job to do. They needed to go tell what happened here. They were followers of Christ. They were human just like you and I are. Most of us here this morning are followers of Christ. We're very human. These ladies had a stone that was too big to move. We're human. We have stones that are too big to move. What are we going to do with those stones? I'm going to name a few stones that I wrote down here. Difficulties in our lives that are too big for us to handle. Before I go into this, let's talk about a man that had a stone that was too big to handle. Matthew 27:3. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to it. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. He had a stone that was too big to handle. He hung himself. That's one way of handling the stones that the Lord, that we have, that we could take to the Lord. He decided to do it on his own. Let's look at another man. We have Peter. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Not just 1 time. Not just 2 times. But he denied Jesus 3 times. I don't know what all took place in Peter's life, but later on we see that Peter was preaching to hundreds, probably thousands. Who helped him take care of the stone that was in his life? I believe he brought it to Jesus. Peter was successful because he brought that stone to Jesus. What are some of the stones that you and I carry today? Loneliness. Health issues. Marital problems. Being forsaken by our friends. Wayward children that we pray for. Problems at work. Financial struggles. Abuse. Anxiety. Death of a loved one. Depression. Those are just a few. And you could name a bunch more. I know we could. Stones that we need to take to the Lord. I thought it interesting this morning. I looked up here and I saw a pile of stones at the cross here. When we take the stones that the Lord gives us, or rather that we conjure ourselves, I guess I should say, if we take those stones and we bring them to the foot of the cross, He will take them from us. He will take them off our back. He will carry them for us. Let's look at Luke 23. We have here 2 men that were crucified on the same hill as Jesus, side by side, on each side of Jesus there. Verse 39 in Luke 23. And let's see the way they responded to what was happening here. Verse 39, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. 2 men, same sentence, hanging on the cross beside the answer to life. The answer to life is right between the two. All they had to do was reach out. I want us to picture this morning Jesus standing right beside us. He doesn't have his back turned to us, but he's got his arms reaching out all the time, waiting for us just to give the okay. He's not going to force himself on us. But when we have a stone that we can't handle, he's waiting. He's saying, give it to me. I'll take it. I want to carry it for you. The one thief here did that. He said, Father, would you remember me? And the other one made fun of it. I believe that day there were two different eternities. We have that choice today. Which eternity am I going to go for? Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Verse 7 there says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. When we bring our burdens to the Lord, He has promised that He will carry them for us. He will not leave us with them. It's our choice if we want to carry Him. But He says, I'll carry Him for you. Just bring Him to me. Let's bring this down a little closer to home here. What about Calvary Chapel right here? Am I walking close enough to the Lord that I can sense when somebody has a burden they're carrying? And if I do see that burden, if I see that they're carrying a burden, am I turning my back? Because I don't want to get my hands dirty. Am I willing to go over and put my arm around that brother or sister and walk the path with them? That's what He's asking us to do. Or maybe I'm the one that's carrying the stones. Maybe I'm the one with the burden on my back. And I'm not letting anybody close. Yeah, I know what I'm talking about. First Corinthians 12:25 says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Are we suffering together? Are we willing to suffer with our brother and sister? Does it take too much of my time to sit and to listen and to pray, and to allow my brother or sister to find deliverance, or maybe I can find deliverance? Is God using you? Is He using me to help roll away some stones, to encourage others, to bring their stones to the foot of the cross? Am I struggling with a stone that I haven't been willing to bring to the foot of the cross? Am I hanging on to something He's waiting to take away? He wants to take it. It's not a matter of shoving it on Him, but He wants to take it. He's risen. He's alive. That's why He wants us to be alive. Today we're celebrating this resurrection. He rose so that we could have freedom. Am I living in freedom like He wants me to live? There are two eternities. We have the choice which direction we're going. He's not going to make that choice for us. But am I free? Am I walking with the Savior this morning? Romans 4:25 says, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. That's positive. For our justification. Without the resurrection, we die. With it, we live. Who's going to roll away that stone for us this morning? It's my choice. It's your choice. I'm going to ask you this morning to stand. I'm going to do something different this morning I've never done. But I'm going to ask you, if you have some stones in your life this morning, would you bring them to the cross? Would you allow Jesus to carry those stones for you? We're going to bow our heads for just a minute. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. And if you have a stone in your life that you want Jesus to carry, would you come and give it to him? I'm not going to stand here and beg, but I want you to know there's opportunity this morning to be totally free. Totally free. Nothing holding you back. Nothing. Would you leave this morning a free person? I ask some of you if you would come up here and if you would pray with those that are coming up. We have an eternity ahead of us. You have this opportunity this morning to secure your eternity. You have an opportunity this morning to say yes to Jesus and no to Satan. I guess this is close to my heart. Because I have a big pile of stones at the foot of the cross. I'm going to ask you this morning if you would step out quietly after the service and allow those up front to pray and be in prayer for them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for what you did for us. We thank you, Father, for the resurrection. Thank you so much, Father, that you died for me. I just pray, Lord, that you would give us strength today as we, this week, as we walk. Lord, that we would be faithful to you. That we would give ourselves completely. Be totally sold out, Lord, to you. Dismiss us now with your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.